How's it going, everybody? And welcome to Just Nobody's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm your host, Dane.
And today we're doing a podcast. Woo! If you're new to the channel, please smash the subscribe button. Also, hit the like button. If this video gets 1,000 likes, we'll be giving away one of these hot toys to one of you guys. Also, there is a Deadpool hot toy. And we know Deadpool is on top right now.
Yes.
He is the man.
The man, the one.
The legend. The one and only, Ryan Reynolds. On my desk. So make sure you comment something you want us to talk about next week. As you're going to see throughout this video, we took your suggestions from last week and we're going to talk about it and we're going to go deep dive on it right now.
Yeah.
So let's get into the podcast. Crazy news. The actor who plays Topper in Outer Banks got arrested.
Oh.
He got arrested because apparently, allegedly, I don't know exactly what happened because I wasn't there. Reports are saying that the actor who plays Topper was in the ER. He punched a nurse in the head. And then one of the doctors or another nurse had to get a, like, some kind of, like, contraption. So basically, the nurse grabs, like, a placemat or something and hits Topper in the head out of self-defense. And Topper is now in jail.
What the heck went wrong there?
I don't know.
How does that even, escalate to that point in the hospital?
Maybe he just wasn't happy with his care.
That's crazy.
Moving on to another crazy news story. Deadpool 3. We all watched it on Super Bowl day. It showed just enough for us to, you know, get our fix of Deadpool while still keeping us guessing on what's to come next. We didn't get to see Wolverine's face, but we did see the body of Wolverine.
Yeah.
And what was so crazy is that the trailer broke the record for most views of any trailer in 24 hours.
It beat No Way Home like by like 10 million, 15 million or something like that.
That is just astonishing to me because if I can go back to when I was like a sophomore or junior in college, when Avengers Endgame came out, the hype for Avengers Endgame was unreal. It was unreal. Everyone wanted to know when the trailer was dropping. Like, it was one of the biggest anticipated trailers of all time. I remember watching YouTube videos of like, oh my gosh, the trailer's going to come tomorrow. It's going to come next week. It's going to come the week after. And it never came. And it was just this constant suspense of when is it going to drop? And then finally when it drops, I watched it like 30 times. And it was just amazing to think about how I knew how much that trailer meant to me, how many times I watched it. And I just remember living in the moment with all the hype around it. And for Deadpool 3 to top that, it's just unbelievable because we know that Marvel hasn't been in the best of light as of recently, right?
Right.
After Avengers Endgame and No Way Home,
yeah.
It's been a little rough ride, right? For Marvel.
Yeah.
That's just to put it lightly.
Right.
For the trailer of Deadpool 3 to outdo Avengers Endgame, to outdo Spider-Man No Way Home, just shows that there is potential, there is the hype, there is the audience that is still there,
right,
hoping that we can recapture the magic that No Way Home had and Avengers Endgame.
And it's going to deliver.
It should deliver.
It will.
I feel like they have put all their eggs in one basket. If this doesn't deliver, I think Marvel really needs to reevaluate what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because with the cast that they have, with Sean Levy, the director, everything's pointing to this movie being a success. And if it isn't, there's something going on internally that needs to be readjusted.
Right. Because this is one movie that should not be messed up and that should not flop because the caliber of this movie should be not taken lightly.
Some of the Easter eggs that we saw, I know you mentioned this. We'll talk about Patch a little bit.
Yeah.
But Pyro, right? Pyro from the original X-Men series, right? With the Fox universe.
Pyro.
Pyro is back. It was kind of like a little quick little, hey, look, we have some X-Men back, but we're not going to show you the ones that you guys are all expecting.
Right.
But it was a nice surprise to see Pyro back. And it just showed me a lot that if they bring Pyro back, you got to pretty much bring everyone back.
Yeah.
Because Pyro, I mean, he's a cool character. Don't get me wrong.
Was he a big character, though?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other people that we want to see, right? Like Cyclops, Storm. Like, there's a lot, right? And as we know, in the Marvels, the post-credit scene, we see Beast.
Yeah.
So, like, we know Kelsey Grammer's Beast is back.
Right.
It's just exciting.
I mean, just even the fact that they really haven't even shown Wolverine yet, but they, like, show Pyro, there's a lot to be shown.
Yeah, I agree. And as we've talked before about the leaks, guys, I'll kind of refresh your guys' memory for everyone who hasn't heard about it. But on Instagram, I saw this post, okay? And like, skip ahead of the podcast if you don't want to know this leak. But basically, we do know this, that Sabretooth, the original Sabretooth from the first X-Men movie, is going to be in Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
Along with Toad.
Yeah.
So what I'm starting to gather, and this could be wrong, but with Pyro being in the trailer, and it looks like Pyro fighting in the, you know, the void,
yeah,
right?
Right.
It looks like the leaks had Sabretooth and Toad in the void also.
Oh.
So I wonder if all the X-Men villains from the Fox universe are kind of in the void together and they're teaming up to fight, you know, the good
in hopes
X-Men
of getting out of the void, maybe?
Maybe.
Oh,
or I feel like it's more of like they just want to conquer the void. Right?
See,
maybe
yeah.
Not to escape. They know they're stuck.
Right.
But they want to be like, we are the ones in control.
Ah.
So we're probably going to see the good X-Men, the Fox universe,
yeah,
the Fox universe, Fantastic Four, and they're going to be fighting all the villains of the Fox universe within the void. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like Fox versus Fox.
Right. Oh, a little taste of different universes colliding.
Yeah. So it's exciting to see what they could do. And I think now piecing together the Pyro, Toad, and Sabretooth all being in the void, it makes sense that they're going to be working together.
Right. And that more of them are there.
Yeah.
I like that.
So Daniel mentioned to me about a theory about Patch. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Patch is a variant of Wolverine that we see in the comics. He wears a patch on his eye, which is a disguise that makes him have this alternate personality. It's like he's still Wolverine, but it basically allows him to be in disguise and no one recognizes him as Wolverine.
Yeah.
And as we see in the Deadpool 3 trailer, we see Patch sitting in the casino, right? We don't see his face, but we can assume
that it's because it's his outfit and where he's at.
And what Daniel brought up was so crazy. He was talking about how, like, throughout the MCU, right, in She-Hulk, we see the newspaper, right, where it says there's a man with claws.
Yeah.
Right. Now, who could that be?
Obviously Wolverine.
And then in Falcon and Winter Soldier, we see that Madripoor is mentioned.
Yes.
And Madripoor, for everyone who doesn't know, I believe Animantium was created in Madripoor.
Oh.
Along with the Patch persona. Now, Patch in the comics resided in Madripoor, right?
Yeah.
And it makes sense that since all this time, right, throughout the MCU, we never see Wolverine. We've never really heard of the Wolverine name.
Right.
It's because this whole time, it's been Patch, the disguise. Like, he's been in disguise.
He uses Patch to literally hide the fact that he is Wolverine. So it makes sense that we never know Wolverine because the only person we know is Patch or a man with claws.
Right. It makes a lot of sense. And it makes sense that the MCU version of Wolverine is somewhere out there in the MCU.
Right, because why would he be mentioned? And then why would Madripoor be mentioned without having any relation to the X-Men? Because Madripoor, that's where it comes from. Like, that's like part of the X-Men.
I mean, I feel like Marvel is notorious for planting the seeds for like later in the future.
Right.
And the She-Hulk Easter egg with the man with claws, Madripoor Easter egg and Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I mean, it all seems like it could be pointing to that.
And we know Marvel plants the seed early.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And it makes sense they would plant the seed early for such a big movie like Deadpool.
Like we talked about, right? They really put all their eggs into this one basket. They're betting it all on Deadpool.
Right.
There's probably a lot of things that's been in the works for the last 5 years towards this Deadpool possibility, you know, what the story could be.
And even like in Ms. Marvel, right, we hear the X-Men 97 theme.
Right.
Right. How are you going to directly reference the X-Men in the MCU without there being some sort of X-Men there? Right.
I agree. Yeah.
So Patch is the MCU Wolverine.
And I think it's totally fair to assume that.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be interesting how they play it out. It makes a lot of sense.
Right. Because how else do you have someone that is not Wolverine, but has claws and nobody knows who he is? It's only if he's using a disguise.
Right. And I do feel this, that I think Marvel can go one of two ways, right? They're either going to go, hey, look, guys, it's what Daniel is saying. It's the Patch variant, right?
Yeah.
And that's why, but he's been in the MCU the whole time.
Right.
But this is Wolverine.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be like, hey, look, Marvel reset. We're going to have, you know, variants of characters from other universes coming in.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how we get our Marvel MCU Wolverine.
Right.
But I do think it is possible that he's been in the MCU this whole time.
Yeah. But also moving into other theories that we talked about. So I also talked about a theory on how did Tony Stark and Nebula survive so long in space?
This is honestly one that I can't believe. I've never heard this in my life. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. So we know in Endgame, right? It starts off with Tony and Nebula stuck in space. And it was confirmed that they were stuck in space for like 3 weeks. It's not humanly possible to survive for 3 weeks with food, because we see them eating food.
Yeah.
But it's impossible to survive for 3 weeks with food with no water to drink.
So it's impossible to survive with food.
And no water.
And no water.
For 3 weeks.
Oh, so you couldn't live for 3 weeks with the food.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to have water.
You want to know a crazy detail that I saw in Avengers Endgame as I started thinking about it more?
Okay.
They make a point in Avengers Endgame when they are down to their last amount of food and Tony tries to offer it to Nebula. Like, here, like, you have it.
Right.
And then Nebula like hands it back to him, like, no, you should eat it. Right. So I think that scene really shows that, look, the resources were out.
Right.
Yeah. So go ahead. Sorry.
Especially to be offering it to Nebula. Because, right, Nebula doesn't really need resources like a human does.
Right.
So just to have it be offered to her and then her have to give it back, it just shows a lot, like, how scarce they were. So the reason why they lived goes all the way back to Iron Man 2. Now, in Iron Man 2, there's a scene where Tony's throwing a party in his house, and it's like a crazy party. He's super drunk, and he's wearing the suit in front of everybody. But then he ends up peeing in the suit. And then Pepper, like, comes up to him, like, what are you doing? We need to end this. You just peed in your suit. But then Tony tells her, hey, there's a filtration system in the suit. You could literally drink that water because it filters it so good. Now, it makes sense that Tony puts this filtration system in all of the rest of the suits for survival purposes. And that's how they produce the water on the ship. Tony would just pee in the suit and it would filter it into water.
You think Tony Stark doesn't have a survival backup plan?
Right.
Like, I totally believe that they're using that system.
Exactly. So they were using the nanotech, right, to make the filtration system. But then once it got towards the end, they were running out of oxygen. The theory is that he used the nanotech all towards his helmet just to make that message to Pepper. Because, right, he could kind of form it into whatever he wants, technically. Yeah.
Crazy.
Another thing about Tony Stark is throughout the MCU, we always see that Tony doesn't like to be handed things. Whenever someone hands him something, he's like, give it to someone else because I don't like being handed things. But we never know the true reason why he doesn't like being handed things. But Stan Lee actually told us why he doesn't like being handed things. And it's because he actually based Iron Man, the character, the whole personality of Tony Stark on an actual real life person named Howard Hughes, who is basically the real life Tony Stark.
Yeah. And like, for everyone who doesn't know, Leonardo DiCaprio actually plays Howard Hughes in a movie.
Mm.
Like, if you guys ever want to know, like, who Howard Hughes is, Leonardo DiCaprio's movie about Howard Hughes is really good.
He was like this billionaire, inventor, like aviator. He was literally the real life Tony Stark. And Stan Lee wanted to base Tony Stark off of him, like, to a T. Howard Hughes, actually throughout his life, he had a fear of germs that progressively became more and more like of a fear and like a problem. So he didn't really like to touch people. Mm. So he had kind of like OCD tendencies, and Stan Lee wanted to give those OCD tendencies to Tony Stark to resemble Howard Hughes. So that's just why Tony Stark doesn't like to be handed things. He kind of has that OCD tendency like Howard Hughes.
Yeah, I mean, guys, I think when Daniel told me this for the first time, I was like, did they ever answer that in the MCU? And no, like, I feel like all this time I've always seen him make the joke where he's like, nah, like, I don't like being handed things, you know, hand it off to someone else. So I think that is a very like plausible reason of a mystery behind the MCU, but it just shows you that Stan Lee really kept it real, right?
Yeah.
Whereas like, I feel like DC characters, it's kind of harder to relate to because there's like, who is it really based on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Marvel characters, there's like some real life people that these characters were based on.
Right. Stan Lee said like, even if it wasn't Howard Hughes, right, a lot of geniuses have OCD tendencies, like the crazy geniuses.
I believe it.
Right. So it makes sense that Tony Stark would have that because he's like the crazy genius.
Yeah, that's totally valid. Okay, so moving on. Last week, I talked about Tangled. And for everyone who doesn't know, the movie Tangled actually has a beginning scene that really foreshadows what happens throughout the movie. And it was really shocking to kind of really piece it together at the end now. Yeah. Looking back, there's a scene where we see Rapunzel as a baby and she's in her crib. There's this device called a baby mobile. You've all seen this thing. It's like a little device that hangs above a crib and it kind of just spins around, and there's usually like some characters on it that keeps the baby entertained or like helps the baby go to sleep. And on Rapunzel's crib, there's a baby mobile, and on the baby mobile, you'll see there's a chameleon, right? And as we know, Pascal becomes one of her bestest of friends.
Yeah.
Throughout the movie.
Right.
Right. And then we see a white horse. The white horse is obviously Flynn Rider's horse, Maximus, yeah, who we see later in the movie. And then we see the duck.
Right.
And it represents the bar that Flynn Rider takes Rapunzel to later in the film.
The Snuggly Duckling.
There's a Cupid, and that represents the love that she'll have for Flynn Rider in the end.
I think that was it, right?
That was it, yeah. Yeah. But it kind of just shows, like, it foreshadows what ends up happening in the movie, and it's just kind of a cool little hidden detail.
Right. It's interesting because all those characters that were on that crib thing, all the pivotal moments, like Pascal, important part of her life.
Right.
Maximus, important part of her life.
Yeah.
All these things, important parts of her life.
Yeah.
And parts of the story. So, like, it's crazy how that's all at the beginning.
Yeah, and I think it's a good reminder that, like, a lot of movies probably do this, like, at the beginning of the movies, like, you'll see, like, there's like a lot of details that can really foreshadow the end, and that's what's so cool about these hidden details in movies. Now, moving on, I do want to talk about this, and I mentioned last week about, I can't remember if I talked about who's the last celebrity I talked about, Sydney Sweeney, but I talked to Daniel about Miley Cyrus, and I talked about how much money she has made in her career. And Miley Cyrus is one of the most successful artists, one of the most successful actors of our generation, and I think it's kind of interesting to break down how much money she's made. It might shock you in terms of like how much she's actually made. For Hannah Montana, she made $15,000 per episode, and there was 86 episodes, making her $1.3 million. Now, for the Hannah Montana movie, allegedly she made $15 million.
Gosh, that's insane.
And then for her brief appearance in High School Musical 2, where she's dancing by the swimming pool, she made $10,000 for like that 10-second cameo.
Like, that is so crazy.
For the movie The Last Song, she made $3 million. For the movie Bolt, where she voiced Penny, I believe. She made $300,000. Now, for Miley Cyrus's music, she's made over $100 million. For 282 concerts that she's performed at, she's made over $210 million. When she worked as a judge on the show The Voice, for two seasons, she made $26 million. For her Spotify streams, she's made $80 million. And for her social media videos and monetization, she's made over $50 million. In total, she's made roughly $250 million. After studios and music publishing companies have taken their cut, after manager, agent, publicist, lawyer, state and federal income tax, she's roughly made $80 million after all the fees. And it is a crazy amount of money, but it is amazing how much she loses in the fees.
Yeah, that is insane. Obviously it's more than half.
Yeah, and what's so crazy, I know she lives kind of a normal life to a certain extent. I'm not gonna say where my friend lives, but I have a friend that lives right next door to Miley Cyrus.
What?
And in the neighborhood is pretty normal.
Oh wow.
It's not gated up or secluded into the hills.
Yeah,
it is pretty right there.
It's just there, just a home.
Just there, just a home.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
She always says, you always find your way back home. I don't know what that has to do with this, but it has home in the title.
Correlates.
We won't play the song due to copyright, but Daniel did bring up this really cool science discovery. Well, I don't know, what was it called? The song? It was this song that helps you become less stressed.
Yeah.
Less...
So there's a song that decreases your anxiety levels by 65% just by listening to this song.
I will say this.
Yeah.
I listened to maybe 30 seconds of it, and I did feel some feeling of calm.
Yeah,
I felt
relaxation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's labeled the most relaxing song.
Oh, that's what it's called?
That's not what the title of the song is called, but that's what they coin it as. It's the most relaxing song ever.
Yeah. So anyways, this song is roughly 8 minutes long.
It's 7 to 8 minutes. It's called Weightless.
Okay.
To fully feel the effects of the 65% reduction in anxiety, you only need to listen to 3 minutes of it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I only listened to about 30 seconds to a minute. And,
right.
And I did feel better.
Yeah.
So everyone, if you're going through something, I think this is a good opportunity to kind of try it out because it's just music. If you're stressed out or you're feeling anxious, go check out the song. It's called Weightless.
Weightless. Because a college did a study on this and they tested it on people and they found that you only need to listen to 3 minutes to get that 65% reduction in anxiety.
Wow. It just kind of shows you too, right? The type of music you can consume, it can affect your life, right? If you're listening to this music, this Weightless song, right? It's going to make you less stressed. But I'm sure there's music out there that will do the opposite.
Oh yeah, 100%. You know what
I mean? So it kind of, when I heard this, right, it started to hit me if music can change your life by 65%, it could also hurt you 65%
or more.
Yeah, it is a crazy kind of revelation to have.
Right. And if there's neuroscientists that created this song that made it for the good, there's neuroscientists out there that know how to make it for the bad.
Yeah, totally. Right. It's totally valid, right? I don't know if this is a good example, but I'm just going to say it. I feel for the military, right? They make weapons to defend our country.
Right.
But there's people out there that can use the same weapon for bad.
Right.
So it just kind of is just like anything, right?
Yeah.
Any advancement in technology that could be for the good gets in the wrong hands, it could be used
for the bad.
Right.
It's like the coin, right? There's two sides to a coin.
Yeah. But it just showed me a lot that, music does play a role in our lives. And I think we have to really be mindful of how music affects us. If music can change our lives that much, it could definitely worsen your life too.
Exactly.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast this week. Trying to get back to our normal schedule. We had some crazy trips for work. Now we're going to try to get back on pace. I don't know if you've been able to watch the reaction videos with Leia. Don't worry. The podcast will be weekly and you can go check out the clips on TikTok along with YouTube Shorts and check out our Instagram. So we'll see you guys tomorrow on TikTok and we'll see you guys next Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.
We'll see you on TikTok.
God bless you guys. See ya.
Love ya.